Well, whether you're a gourmet chef or a novice in the kitchen, it's important to know about food safety and to follow the basic guidelines, because if you don't, you might end up sick or even worse. Judy Knudsen is a UW Extension family living educator for Brown County. She's been with us in the past. Great to have her back. She has some great information about food safety and what tools you can use to help keep yourself safe. And Judy, let's see. Well, we're going to get her on the air here. I think I've got her now. Judy, hi. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. Well, we think about food safety. I know you like to think about sort of different categories of food safety, and maybe you can comment on those categories for us.
Certainly, when we think about food safety, what we want to think about is, you know, how we store food, how we handle food, and all of those parts in between. And we do need to be concerned because the American food supply, although it's one of the safest in the world, the federal government has estimated that there are about 48 million cases of foodborne illness annually, which is the equivalent of sickening 1 in 6 Americans every year. So we really do need to think about how we handle food safely, whether we're out and about or we're eating at home.
Oh, man. 1 in 6. That's an amazing number. And I want to give our listeners a chance to join in as well. And as you listen, how much do you think about food safety in your own home kitchen? Do you have a food safety question for us? I wonder if you're getting things right. I know Judy can help out. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page as well. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can post your questions or your comments there. We'd love to hear from you. When we think about food storage, I've got to tell you something. This last weekend, I was by myself and I took a look in my refrigerator. And I said, you know what? There are some things in here that have been in here a long time, including even some jams and some mustards and whatnot. And I started a cleanup in my refrigerator, and I couldn't believe, I mean, I'm embarrassed to even say how many things I wound up just tossing away because they'd been in there way too long. And I bet you I'm not the only one who has that kind of situation in their refrigerator.
It's interesting you mention that because I did the same thing about a week ago. I'm like, I've just got to clean this refrigerator out. But you, like many of the rest of us, do have things that we put in the refrigerator. They kind of get pushed to the back. And we just don't take the time to clean out the refrigerator. A lot of the foods that we do put in our refrigerator do have dates on them. If it's a dairy product, you can usually keep it the product for 7 days past the date. For eggs, it's usually 2 to 3 weeks past the date on the egg carton. For things like ketchup and mustard, typically they have a lot of acid in them, so those will keep for several months. But when you start to see green things growing on food products in the refrigerator, it's a really good time to do some cleaning and, you know, wipe down the inside of the refrigerator, but also discard those products that just don't look very good or are past the date.
Yeah, and I opened up a few jars and looked inside and I thought, oh, my goodness, why is this still sitting in my refrigerator? And out it went. Oh, my goodness. We have David posted a question on WPR.org. He said, can you have you discussed the safe and proper methods for making venison jerky at home? I wonder about running the dehydrator out in the garage when the temperatures are very low. Also, I'm on a low-salt diet. Can I make jerky without adding any salt to the mix?
Typically, with jerky, you would need to add salt to it. UW Extension does have a publication that includes some jerky recipes. I don't think there's anything low sodium on there. He could certainly email me afterwards and I can do some more checking for him. I do make jerky in my dehydrator in the fall. And I've not tried it out in my garage when it's this cold. My garage is pretty well insulated, but I do notice the temperature does drop on these days where the temperature is below zero. So I think if you're going to make jerky, you'd want to wait and not do it this week. You want to wait till we get back into some much more realistic temperatures. But I typically, when I make jerky, I just put my dehydrator on before I go to bed at night, let it dry overnight, and typically in the morning when I get up, it's, you know, dry and where it needs to be, dryness. So it probably would be good to, if he wants to do it in his garage, to wait till the temperature gets maybe up 25, 30 degrees before he uses it out there.
Yeah, I think that's a very good good idea, and I like your idea of something I haven't done. I don't know why I didn't, which is to get things ready before you go to bed, and then when you wake up in the morning, it's pretty well done, as opposed to me starting in the day and then running back and forth to look at it to see how it's doing.
Right. Or you put it on too late in the day. I've done this before, and then having to get up in the middle of the night to check it and see how it is. So it seems like doing things overnight works really well, because usually by morning your product is dry or almost dry.
Yeah. I'm glad you pointed out things about the expiration dates on things, because you do have some leeway, at least on milk. I know, you know, it says do not sell after this date, but you'd have at least 5 days beyond that, right? As you said?
5 to 7 days.
Yeah.
Right. They say a good week. And that would be the same with sour cream, cottage cheese, yogurt, any of those sorts of dairy products. People often like to say, well, I haven't opened the sour cream yet, but it's 3 weeks past the date. It looks okay. It smells okay. But we do realize that some bacteria doesn't have an odor to it. The product may still look okay, but it's not safe to eat. So those dates you really need to abide by.
Yeah, I'm... It's really tempting, and you know, somebody said to me, how do you know when sour cream is gone bad, or blue cheese? How do you know when blue cheese has gone bad? And I said, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. And that's why a lot of these products have dates on them.
Yeah.
Because you really don't know. They still look okay. With blue cheese, it's really kind of a mystery because of the color of blue cheese. So, you know, that's why don't take a product, rewrap it in other packaging, keep the product in the packaging it came in, and then you'll have that date. So that'll give you a real good indicator whether it's still good to eat or it's time to discard it.
Yeah. Talking today with Judy Knutson, UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County, about food safety issues. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. What about cooking food? What do we need to keep in mind for cooking food safely?
Typically, if you're cooking anything with meat, it needs to be heated to appropriate temperature. For poultry, that's 165 degrees. For ground meats, that would be 160. And then for fresh beef, veal, lamb, it's usually 145 degrees. It's great to have a meat thermometer, so you make certain that you have the most accurate temperature. Also, too, we want to make certain that if you're going to use cold foods or cold ingredients and you're going to use them in preparation, make certain that they're cold. You don't take them out of the refrigerator, you know, way in advance. Keep everything cold until you need to cook it. And then when you're done cooking an item, make certain that you get it refrigerated right away if you have leftovers. I get a lot of calls from people who set something on the counter to cool. They forget about it. The next morning it's still sitting there. And then I get this call of, well, why can't I still eat it? And, you know, our recommendation would be anything that's left out at room temperature longer than 2 hours that should be refrigerated does need to be discarded. And I know people are conservative and don't want to throw food away, but, you know, getting foodborne illness certainly is going to be more costly time-wise, if not having to go to the doctor, than having thrown away something that should have been thrown away in the first place.
Yeah. Carl in Winona, Minnesota, thanks for calling. Hi.
Oh, hi. I heard the caller regarding beef jerky and low sodium. I can relay that at one time I took strips of venison and put them on a clothesline during weather just like this, and it freeze-dried rather well, rather rapidly, it turned into something that was very easy to break and pulverize without the salt. So if someone was making pemmican, that would be a nice way to do it.
Oh, okay. What do you think of that, Judy?
My concern, I think once you put it out on the clothesline, if you brought it in, you would need to leave it frozen, which I'm assuming the gentleman did.
Sure.
Because when you dry something, you're actually taking the moisture out, and that preserves it. If you're freeze-drying it, you may not get all the moisture out of it. So you certainly, could freeze-dry it, but then leave it in the refrigerator until you blend it up or, decide how you're going to use it.
That's the best way to do it. Okay. Talking today with Judy Knutson, UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County, and we've got lots of points here to cover, and I'm really kind of looking forward to getting through them as we talk temperatures and a whole lot more, refrigeration, a lot of things relating to food safety, and we'll be back with her. Take a look at the news, and then we'll be back right after that. Look at the news. You stay with us. Food can be fun to make and delicious to eat, obviously, but without proper handling, it can also make you very sick. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. We're used to thinking about healthy choices in what foods we eat, but there are also some healthy choices to make in terms of how we cook and store our foods, and we've got an expert on that, Judy Knutson, UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County. Happy to have her with us. So we can all learn from her some food safety expertise. And Judy, thank you again for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You can join in, too, as you listen in. Maybe you've got a question or maybe a comment or an experience to share. How much do you think about food safety in your home? 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. And let's take some calls. Harold in Superior has been waiting a bit. Harold, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Well, good afternoon. Your timing is just so ironic here. I finally was looking at this frozen turkey hamburger that I've had in the freezer for about, I don't know. You lose track of time if you don't label things, but it's 7, 8, 9 months, and we just got a brand new microwave, so I thought, okay, I'm going to try out the defrost cycle, and I was just defrosted half of it, and I thought, well, I'll fry it up here fairly soon. And the second part of my question, same thing with juices. I drink coconut milk, and it says on there, use within 7 to 10 days. Well, gosh, I can't drink that much in 7 to 10 days. And we get orange juice, and then we get cranberry juice and things like that. Well, even the cranberry juice says use in 7 to 10 days after opening. And I don't know. I sometimes freeze half of it, but the coconut milk, I don't know if it would freeze well. And so any thoughts on those items as well?
All right. Harold, thanks for calling. Well, first, maybe currently you're thawing some ground turkey from the freezer. How long will that keep?
Typically, if it's well-wrapped and frozen as soon as you get it home, you typically could keep many types of meat for up to a year in the freezer. If you take it out and it's starting to not look good, it may have some freezer burn on it, then it's a concern. But he should be fine with the meat, and he should be able to enjoy it later today as part of a meal. In regards to coconut milk, a lot of milks don't freeze real well. They tend to separate. So that may be an issue if he's not able to consume it within the date with on the container, but certainly, like I said, milk does tend to separate, so it's not something we'd recommend freezing. Juices, though, if you buy them in a container, you're not able to drink all of them within a period of time. You certainly can go ahead and freeze them. Make certain, though, that if you have them in a container, that you do leave some space at the top. Juices, just like any other beverage, oftentimes will expand a little bit, so you need to allow a little space for expansion, but certainly juices are fine to freeze.
All right, there we go. Thanks a lot, Harold, for calling. Appreciate it. And Jackie, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Good afternoon. What about canned food? Not home canned, but we always, my husband and I, we always have bought a lot of canned things, and I still have some of them left. If you look at what it says on the jar, on the can, you wouldn't keep it. But what's the way of looking at that? Can you keep those things?
All right, it's a good question as well, because I'm sure if I went, I haven't gotten around to my cupboards yet, but I know darn well when I get into the back of some of my cupboards, I'm going to find a can that was probably a year past the date. And I would bet that there's a lot of households the same way as Jackie and also me.
You're right. Canned goods, the dates on them are somewhat of a mystery. Canned goods are not required to have dates on them. Food processors oftentimes do provide a date. That is a best if used by date. So certainly if you've got a can of peaches in your pantry and you pull it out and the date was, you know, 4 or 6 months ago, as long as the can is indented, the seam isn't bulging. And I always tell people if it looks like it's got dust on it, it's probably looking like maybe it's getting, you know, you've been had it in there for a while, it should still be fine to consume. So I know people have gotten really sensitive about those best if used by dates. And if they see a canned good in their cupboard or pantry and it's past the date, they're likely not to consume it. But a lot of that food is still fine. It's just when you get something that's 2 to 3 years old, it does start to lose nutritional value and flavor. So, you know, do monitor those sorts of things. Every so often I take what's in the back of my pantry and move it to the front of my pantry and kind of rotate items so I don't forget about those things that kind of get pushed to the back when I'm in a hurry trying to get the groceries unloaded after being at the grocery store.
Yeah, there we go, Jackie.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Again, you can join us. Open lines get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. And we have some Facebook comments, for example. Brianna wonders about a dehydrator. She found a dehydrator that was her aunt's from back in the 70s. How do you know if it still works correctly?
Well, certainly when you're looking for a dehydrator, what I tell people is you want a number of settings. So that would be the first thing to check. If it doesn't have a number of settings, you usually would go from herbs to meats because they all need to be dried at different temperatures. That's something that you really want with a dehydrator. You also want something that's got a fan that is going to circulate the air throughout the dryer. And so some of the older dryers don't have very good fans in them. So that would be something else to look at. I would certainly, if you wanted to try it out, you know, you could slice up a couple carrots, quarter-inch slices, put them on a tray, see how long it takes for them to dry. Typically, carrots at my house, when I use my dehydrator, it's usually, you know, 5 to 7 hours, depending on how thick I slice them, if they're over that quarter of an inch thick. So that would be something else. Give it a try. But, you know, realize that with technology, the dryers have gotten more efficient. They're faster, a little bit better quality. So you may ultimately decide to purchase a new one. They're not very expensive. There are lots of stores that carry food dehydrators now. So if you're not real happy with the results, you can usually get a pretty good dehydrator without spending a lot of money. But those would be some things I would recommend for her to look at before she makes that decision.
A caller who couldn't stay on the phone asked how long mayonnaise can stay out of the fridge.
The rule of thumb for mayonnaise, even though it does have an acid base, is that we would not want it to be left out any longer than 2 hours.
All right. So,
and if it's a hot summer day, I'd even, you know, reduce that amount, but typically that length of time. But typically we would say any food that's refrigerated should not be left out any longer than 2 hours.
Okay, so if it accidentally stays out overnight and you see it on
right.
the ship, better to toss it out.
It is, and I know people hate to throw food away because you spent good money to buy it, but, you know, the consequences of not throwing away and consuming it can be even more miserable. So it's always better to roll on the side of safety rather than taking risk when it comes to food.
Shelley wonders about the safety of fermenting foods. She ferments foods herself. wonders if there are any safety tips that you might pass along for those interested in fermenting their foods.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the fermenting of foods, because it actually is one of the latest food trends that we've seen. I've been tracking them for the last couple years, and so fermented foods are really popular, whether it's yogurt, sauerkraut, kimchi, kefir. You know, there's just lots of fermented foods right now, and a lot of interest in what the possible health benefits may be. But certainly if you're going to ferment foods, we'd want you to use recommended recipes. You could get those from your county extension office. So we have, you know, a number of fermented recipes that we could provide. Do realize that some of the recipes that you get off the internet, or the person will get off an internet, are not always approved recipes. And so we'd recommend, you know, county extension offices. Ball Corporation has a lot of great recipes, or the National Home Food Preservation Center, and you can Google that. It's at the University of Georgia. All their recipes are online, but those would be good, reliable recipes that we'd recommend. But certainly to make some sauerkraut or whatever, you know, it's fun and easy to do, and it tastes great.
Ellen in Madison has a comment or question for us. Hi, Ellen. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi, Larry and Judy. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm hoping you can help me solve my applesauce mystery. I purchased some apples. They were Cortland apples that I purchased at a farmer's market, and I washed them, and I let them sit out on my counter overnight because I wanted to make applesauce. I didn't get to it, and so I washed them, and I let them sit out. I cut them up, you know, boiled them up, made the applesauce, and then refrigerated it promptly. And my husband had it, and about an hour later, he had, like, food poisoning, like he had diarrhea. And my son, who came later in the day, actually tried some and had the same thing happen to him. And so they made my other son also take some. It became a family joke, you know. And so he ate the applesauce, too. And, yes, he had it, too, about an hour. So I feel like... it sounds like a staph or something that made a toxin, and you know it was still present in the applesauce. But how in the world would they get sick from applesauce?
Did you sterilize your containers before you put the cooked applesauce in it?
I did. I'm always really fussy about this kind of stuff.
Okay.
And I can't imagine.
Let's see. One possibility would be something that may have been on the counter and it sat out overnight and just got on the apples.
Yeah. I put the apples on a towel, though. I washed them. I didn't wash them with soap or anything. You know, I washed them well. Maybe it was in my sink. I don't know. Do you think?
Well,
but would it come from the apples?
Actually, were your dish towels clean? Or had you used dry dishes and then reused them?
No, I grabbed a new one from the drawer.
Okay.
My concern was that...
I've been on dish towels lately, so...
Okay.
And you wash your apples well before you slice them and peel them?
I washed them with water, but that was my thought. Was that causing the problem? Was there something in the apples and then with the moisture, you know?
Washing apples is what we would recommend, just with water. The other thing you may want to check if you bought them locally is when would it sprayed last? Because that could be an issue as well.
You mean when were they sprayed, you said?
Yeah.
Last, right.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
So typically, if you've washed everything and you cooked them, you know, I'm not certain where the break was that they would be exposed to some sort of bacteria that would lead to family members becoming ill.
Yeah. Isn't it, did you tell me once that the sinks are among the worst place, often the most bacteria-laden spots in the kitchen?
Well, they are. And typically when I'm going to can, I do scout, I thoroughly clean my sinks. That's the very first thing I do before I even start on preserving. And I do a lot of food preservation. I do 20 classes a year that I teach up here in Brown County. So that is the very first thing I do is, you know, clean the sink really well. Because you're right, between the sink and the dish towel, there's a lot of bacteria in a very small area. So that may be another thing, too, is if somebody would have poured something down, if it didn't get rinsed out well enough, that maybe was a little bit old. If there's a little bit of bacteria on that, that, you know, a little bit of that might just have stuck in the sink, and that might have led to it as well.
My sink is old. It's not a stainless sink, so it possibly doesn't clean up as good as like a stainless sink would. So I would just guess that's what happened. So thank you so much for helping
me. Thanks,
Sorry,
Ellen.
That happened.
and everybody got in the act, except Ellen, who was smart enough, noticing hubby and the two sons getting sick. Doesn't sound like she wanted to experiment, and good for her. Oh, my goodness. We have lots more callers online, and Diane emailed and said over the holidays, and I've seen this too, I saw a TV chef making a recipe with raw eggs and wonders, is that safe?
It is not. There are still a number of recipes floating around that call for raw eggs. But we would recommend, due to this possible salmonella poisoning, that raw eggs not be used in recipes. And certainly you do see them being used on a number of cookie shows. You find those recipes on the Internet and in old cookbooks. But we would certainly recommend that people avoid recipes where raw eggs are being called for as one of the ingredients.
Can you use substitute the pasteurized eggs?
In some cases, the pasteurized eggs will work well. Some cases, not so well. I have a chocolate silk pie, and I tried to pasteurize eggs in it, and it just doesn't have the same texture to it as what the raw eggs resulted in. So I've just chosen not to use that recipe anymore.
Ron in La Crosse, thanks a lot for calling. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, well, we're in the subject of prolonging shelf life of food. I have an appliance called, well, I'll use a generic term, vacuum sealer, but several different manufacturers make them. And the particular brand that I make, which is the Foremost brand, you've probably seen an infomercial for it on TV. And in addition to vacuum sealing special bags that come with it, and putting food in these vacuum sealed bags, it also has a suction port. And it comes with a plastic hose. One end of the hose fits into the port, and the other end fits into the hole in an adapter that fits over a mason lid and jar. Mm-hmm. And you can vacuum out a mason jar, and once the air is taken out, the lid is on tight. You know, the air, the atmosphere keeps it on. You can preserve a lot of things and prolong them for a long time. Now, they don't guarantee that it'll preserve food for an indefinite length of time. But it certainly won't spoil as fast once you remove the air from the mason jar or the special bags that come with it.
Judy, what do you think?
I have a number of people up here in Brown County who use vacuum sealers, particularly related to food preservation with drying and some of that sort of thing, where you're correct, able to remove the air. With mason jars, you know, certainly if it is an item that needs to be processed either in a water bath can or a pressure canner, we'd recommend that. But for dried products, that sort of thing, vacuum sealers are great. There's lots of them available when you look for them if you're interested in purchasing one at all different price points. But people who have them really like the fact that you're able to remove air from the food product and be able to keep it for a longer period of time.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron, for calling. Appreciate it. Deb in Monona, your turn. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. So I have a question that I'm really curious about. I made turkey stock from our Christmas turkey carcass. And then, you know, pretty much immediately afterward, I made turkey noodle soup. And as I was reheating some of the soup, and I decided to add more stock to it, and both of the pots were going on the stove. And I noticed all of a sudden that there was like a different kind of bubble forming on the surface and an off kind of smell coming from the soup, which has never happened to me before. I've made, this kind of soup several times before. When my husband came home, he asked me what had died.
Oh, my goodness. Not a great comment on your cooking.
So I'm really, what? It was a very kind of vinegary kind of taste.
Ooh.
What?
Does it, Yeah, it doesn't sound, hopefully you didn't consume it. How long did you have the turkey in the refrigerator before you made stock out of it?
Okay, now you're going to get me on this one because I did have it in the refrigerator for 7 days.
Okay, that would be too long. Typically with turkey, you don't want to keep it in the refrigerator. I don't keep it in my refrigerator longer than 3 days.
Okay.
So that it was probably in the refrigerator too long, and then by then it was probably starting to deteriorate a little bit. And so that's why you had that unusual odor. So, yeah, typically 3 days, and I've got the stock made. And if I'm not going to use it after that, if I make the stock and I'm not going to make soup right away, I just freeze it and then use it later. But, yeah, I'm very cautious with poultry. Any poultry leftovers in my refrigerator will be used within 3 days or they'll be frozen or discarded. So I think you just left it in the refrigerator a little too long.
There you go. Thanks, Deb. Thanks a lot for calling. What died? Oh, my goodness. Appreciate that call. And you know what, Judy? I know you have many tips. We're getting a little shorter on time here in a minute and a half or so, but let's go over it. You mentioned cutting boards come to mind, and I know you talk about having designated boards, especially one for raw meat and poultry and fish.
Definitely. It's great to have one cutting board that you use for meat or poultry or fish, and then your other cutting boards that you would use for fruits and vegetables or whatever you're going to use them. Make certain the ones that you are using when you cut meat, poultry, or fish that you clean them really well. I usually spray them down with a little bit of water, chlorine bleach to make certain I kill the bacteria. So you can even write on them with a permanent marker. Use only with, meat, poultry, or fish for family members. So we just want to make certain that everything in the kitchen is really clean and that there's no transfer bacteria, which is more likely when we're preparing meat, poultry, or fish.
That's very good. And ice packs, use them to keep your food cold during those warm weather months. I actually have a mini ice packs that I use for my daughter's lunch. When I make her lunch, I put an ice pack in her, a little insert in her lunch bag, and I think that helps a lot keep things cold.
It does, and good for you as a parent to do that. And we would encourage other parents who are sending lunches to school with their children, if there's anything in there that needs to be kept cold, always include an ice pack. That is a great way to keep things really cold. So, it doesn't hurt to have multiple ice packs in the freezer. I know at my house I've got multiple ice packs. I use them for lots of things. Not that we need to be quite so concerned this time of year, but certainly those lunches that are going to sit in the classroom for
a long time really need to be kept cool. Judy, we are out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you can come back and be with us again soon. It was really wonderful. And believe me, we will talk with her again. We need more time. I'll have to give her the whole program one of these times. Thank you for listening, and please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.